You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Wonderful, majestic world around us. It's time for Dear Science. Thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
How are you going, Alan?
Oh, Christina, it's been a rushed morning because you know those long weekends when you forget that you've got the radio show on a Tuesday. So we were up early this morning, I tell you.
What a way to bring you back into reality, eh?
I know.
A delightful start to the week. I hope you do enjoy these segments as much as we do.
Oh, I love it. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Otherwise, it would be very awkward and it would probably translate very badly for our dear listeners out there.
Not at all.
But anyway, we've got some very cool stuff as usual. Our first topic is that the imperial system. It's very controversial, isn't it? And I don't know how many of you guys out there are big fans of inches and feet, and I really shouldn't have said that on live radio, but what's going on there? Why can't we hang on to that system?
Indeed. Well, we are not, but good old Boris Johnson, who just this morning survived a vote of no confidence, God knows how, he was sort of proposing that Britain take the Great Leap backwards and go back to imperial units. So, as a result of this, the Department of Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy in the UK last week launched a consultation basically looking at whether retailers could operate in the so-called imperial units. Ooh. And so this, I guess, is another one of the great benefits of Brexit.
Oh, dear.
But, okay, so this goes back, in fact, to around about 2001. And there was a guy by the name of Stephen Thoburn who was selling bananas by the pound rather than by the kilogram. Mm. And they actually had undercover officers at this veggie stall where he was selling his bananas. And he got arrested for this and got charged and got convicted. He was the first person to get convicted under these new regulations. So these were essentially EU regulations. Mm. And the EU are sensible because they are metric. And Britain, on the other hand, is not particularly enamoured, shall we say, with the whole, the whole metric system, because it was invented by the French, of course. So, you know, that's going to be a problem right there. And so Boris, in his finite wisdom, has suggested that this might be the time to maybe go back and reinstate imperial units. So, you know, all the school kiddies in the UK will then have to know how many inches there are in a foot and how many pecks there are in a bushel and how many...
You've made
I don't
that
know.
Up.
No, I haven't.
Oh,
no,
my God.
No. How many bushels in a peck? Got it around the wrong way.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And then you've got the US gallon and you've got the imperial gallon and all of this utter madness, and how any sensible person, let alone nation, could even posit that they would consider going back to these ridiculous units. I just cannot believe it.
Well, it is quite chaotic, isn't it? Like, well,
and it's for no better reason than it's what they're used to, I guess. You know, Boris will probably go back to bloody pre-decimalisation now, you know, because, you know, that's the way it used to be. So Let's do that. Let's get away from these factors of 10, because factors of 10 are so obviously difficult. So... Oh, my God. So,
rather than factors of, you know, 5,280, which I do know off the top of my head.
Oh, well done. Goodness, that's feet in a mile or something.
Feet in a mile,
wow.
Which I actually didn't know. I just had that number ready. and I really wanted to impress him, and I did. And then I immediately ruined it.
And see, I grew up with imperial. I am that old, listeners. Yeah. I grew up with imperial, and I remember when they brought in metric at school. And, you know, we all had to learn, you know, grams instead of ounces and blah, 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 blah.
But that could have been like a very easy change, wouldn't it?
Well, it was very gradual. And like all of the street signs for quite a few years, they were given in at the same time miles and kilometres.
Mm. Yeah.
And then eventually the miles got taken off and nobody sort of really cared. And you had these little kilometre stickers that you put over your odometer to turn them into, you know. And look, shit, we got through it. And for some God unknown reason, every baby born in New Zealand is pounds and ounces, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't quite
also,
know why that is.
Also, height here is still feet as well.
You know,
it's like I'm
no,
6 foot two.
No.
I don't say I'm 2 meters tall. I say I'm 6'3".
Interesting, because okay, I know how much I weighed when I was born, but in kilograms.
Oh, okay. So, well, I think that would be one of the rare ones, I think, really.
My sister was a big baby. She was 3.8 kilograms, and I have no idea how many pounds that is.
I was 10 pound 4, and I don't know what that is in kilograms.
That means absolutely nothing to me. See, this is why the imperial system just doesn't make sense.
So we need just the one standard of measurement. Ooh. We've got it already, and now the UK looks set to join Liberia, Myanmar slash Burma, and the United States of America as the only countries who use the imperial system. It's madness.
Well, yeah, no, because my dad is similar to you. He grew up with the imperial system, and he said that when they switched to the metric system, it just made life so much easier because everything's divided by tens and hundreds.
Yes.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
Well, look, no one ever said that Boris Johnson was a sane man, but
you're right
now
about
he's facing,
that. Yes.
Well, now that he survived that vote of no confidence, maybe they will implement this.
Well, it remains to be seen. But again, I mean, they still have their cars in miles per hour over in England. So they've sort of got a hodgepodge at the moment. They're not completely one way or t'other. But look, for goodness sake, everybody out there realises the metric system is just the way to go. And this is utter madness. And as I say, the great leap backwards.
Wow. Text us in if you are a big supporter of the imperial system. 5395 is the number.
Here we go.
Because I think supporters of imperial metric, you know, systems, either or, are very, very passionate about it.
Oh, I'm very passionate about SI, so I'll take them on. There we go.
Our next topic for today, a extremely reactive substance has been discovered in the atmosphere, and this has significant implications for the world of science. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, what we often say on this program is that more work is needed, and so as a result of this more work is needed, we found something in the atmosphere that we didn't know was there before, which is kind of cool. So the atmosphere that is all around us, it's 78% nitrogen, it's 21% oxygen, and it's 0.9% argon, third most popular gas in the atmosphere. And you might think, well, you know, add them all up and there's not a hell of a lot left that could possibly be important in the atmosphere, which would be very wrong way to think, because we have at the moment 431 parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, which is kind of causing a little bit of havoc. So you can have gases in the atmosphere at not very high concentrations that have significant effects upon the Earth. And so some researchers in Copenhagen, or Copenhagen, I believe as it's pronounced in Danish, have made the discovery of a group of molecules called hydrotrioxides. And these are very, very interesting. They can certainly be formed in the atmosphere, and they have shown that these molecules can be formed in the laboratory, and by extension, that they should be formed in the atmosphere. So, hydrotrioxides, what are they? Okay, so, as the name suggests, they've got oxygen in them, and very, very, very unusually, they've got three oxygen atoms all in a row bonded to each other, and that's almost unprecedented. The only sort of precedent for that is a molecule called ozone, which I'm sure everyone will have heard of, and it's the good old ozone layer that protects us from ultraviolet rays. These molecules, these hydrotrioxides, though, are very probably not molecules like ozone. They're not protective in that sense.
Oh dear.
And so they, as you say, they are reactive. They are pretty reactive. In the lab, they last for sort of 20-odd minutes here or there, give or take. And then in the atmosphere, they're predicted to last, say, 2 hours to a few days, there or thereabouts.
Mm.
And so as an estimate, again, of how much of this is formed in the atmosphere, or it exists in the atmosphere at any given time. So, again, an estimate around about 10 million tonnes of these things are going to be formed every year, which is not an insignificant sum. And they're formed from the reaction of things called hydroxyl radicals, which are very, very, very reactive beasties that get formed in the atmosphere, reacting with organic molecules in the atmosphere. And you might think, well, how do organic molecules get in the atmosphere? So things like terpenes and stuff like that, trees emit organic molecules, These can then react with these very, very reactive hydroxyl radicals, and now it's been shown that one of the products of these things are these hydrotrioxides. So, big deal? Yeah, kind of, because we've got an awful lot of people studying the atmosphere. We want to know what's going to be happening in 50, 100 years' time sort of thing in the atmosphere.
Mm.
And in order to be able to make those predictions, we've got to know what the hell we've got in the atmosphere to start off with. And so these molecules, the fact that they can exist in the atmosphere, they are now going to have to take into account when these projections are being made from now on. So, you know, this is kind of important stuff. And just a personal note, a byline on this, the head of this research was actually an ex-colleague of mine, so I was quite chuffed to see it in the literature.
Very, nice.
Very, very well done. Yeah,
wow, that
very
is
good stuff.
Huge implications for, you know, climate modelling.
Absolutely. Yep.
Also good to see your mates up in the world state of Jack research, isn't it?
Yeah, he'd be pretty happy with this paper, I'm sure. So, yeah.
Cool. Our third topic for today, okay, silk tags. This might not mean anything to you, but there are these things called edible silk tags, which you've emailed me about, and it can be used to detect dodgy meds. Is that is that true, or is that
yes,
kind of a
absolutely
myth?
So how do you detect fakes? That's that's the thing. So, for example, fake alcohol. We've got, they reckon 18% of people in the UK have bought fake alcohol somewhere along the fake spirits, okay, or have been sold fake spirits,
wow,
which is a ridiculous, yeah.
They're like bootleg alcohol or like,
well, no, just
or?
I think just, you know, alcohol in a fancy
just,
bottle
really?
Masquerading
and just,
as something
not,
else.
It's just not alcohol.
It's not the stuff you're paying for.
Oh,
you know, so
wow.
it's your pricey stuff. There's a really, really good documentary on Netflix called Sour Grapes,
mm-hmm.
Which is all about a guy that made fake wine and sold it off for literally millions of dollars. So people, you know, this is a multi-million-dollar problem,
yeah.
The alcohol thing. Even worse, of course, pharmaceuticals. Okay, so fake pharmaceuticals, it's estimated, the World Health Organization estimates over 1 million people die every year as a result of fake
wow.
or poorly labeled pharmaceuticals, okay, mm-hmm. not being what it says on the label. So obviously it's important to develop some method by which you can say that these things are not fakes. So how do you go about that? So, you know, there's a variety of ways of doing this, obviously, but, you know, analysis of them is one method, but that's not quick and it's not cheap and it's not going to be any help to anybody in the third world sort of thing.
Mm.
So there's some researchers in the States at Purdue University who have, and this is really quite bizarre, developed some silk proteins. So they've genetically engineered some silkworms to expel these silk proteins that have got little fluorescent labels on them, okay? And from aww. These silk proteins, you can make fluorescent bits of silk,
ooh, okay.
which are edible. We can eat these, okay?
Would you eat them?
Oh, yeah, it's just natural stuff, you know.
Right.
And what they can do is then probably sort of print these little silk labels onto your pharmaceutical of choice.
Mm.
And you irradiate it with, you know, you what they've done is they're going to be able to sort it out so that a smartphone can read the particular codes
yeah.
that are going to be embedded in these fluorescent labels. Which sounds absolutely brilliant. Yeah. No, no, really,
such
really,
clever
really
idea.
Clever.
Yeah.
And so what they seem to be doing now is sort of proof of concept sort of thing. So you've got your solid pharmaceuticals, you've got liquid ones, and the liquid ones are often made up in alcohol.
Mm.
So what they want to make sure is that these things aren't going to decompose in alcohol. So hence, they've stuck these things in a bottle of whiskey, and they've been stable for at least 10 months in a bottle of whiskey. So you can still activate it with your iPhone and blah, 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 and read the codes, saying that, yes, this is genuine stuff. And you would imagine that counterfeiters are going to have to, you know, really go very, very hard in order to try and replicate these things so that they can then make these fake labels. So, you know, I think for a while, at least, you know, we might have the upper hand on these if this turns out to be a goer. So
yeah.
Really, really rather clever stuff.
It is.
And you know, I guess an example of lateral thinking, it's, you know, the application of really high-end science to solve a real-world problem.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
No, well, I mean, it could, you know, it could become something that, you know, you use every day as well.
Yeah.
A lot of people on medication, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you need to know that it's the right stuff, don't
yeah.
you? You need to know its provenance. You can, and sadly, you just can't trust it these days.
Yeah.
You know, people come up with all these, you know, wrapped up things in, that look like the right stuff. You know, the pill. I mean, you were talking on the news just before about the MDMA that was, you know, laced with something.
That would help, right? With the if you had those tapes.
Again, if you had a legal manufacturer of MDMA,
that's a different topic.
It is indeed, and we could be here for ages. But yeah. So you know, really, really nice stuff. Very, very clever.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Was that all for today?
It was all for today. Have we been quick?
That is... Wow. No, that was an incredible episode of Dear Science. No. We've got a couple of texts in all referring to the imperial system.
Here we go.
Babies are weighed and measured in metric when born. I had a baby last year and he was 3.71 kilos.
That's great to hear because you look at it in the newspapers when they announce the babies and the majority of them, as far as I can see, are still pounds and ounces. So I'm glad to hear that.
Wow, that's a point for metric.
Yay.
We in New Zealand still use a combo. Babies are often talked about in weight in both and in height. As an actor, you often say either height because we all know a height in feet, but it's only a thing if you audition in the US.
But do we all know our height in feet? Because really, the people growing up now shouldn't. There's no reason to.
True. I mean,
you know, they should know that they're 184 or something like that. Or yeah.
I guess because
American media is so popular.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I know. There is that pervasive Americanization of the country. And yes, the last letter of the alphabet is Z. Damn it. and it's pronounced kilometer.
Kilometer.
Not kilometer. Make me happy.
Very
kilometer.
Passionate. There we go. Everyone make Alan happy. The last text was, what about hearing my dad saying in relation to driving, doing the ton?
Doing the ton, yes.
And I think that might be the end of that. We truly get rid of the imperial system. So about your dad.
You can still do the ton. It's just a lot slower.
It's the metric ton.
Exactly, yes.
Well, there you go. That was another episode of Dear Science. Many thoughts to think.
Well, I didn't know that before. Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
Thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.